Let's see, did anybody here get here early this morning before the hour? You didn't turn back? Oh, yeah, okay. See, it's always good when the hour falls back because everybody's on time or early for church. Now, when we spring forward, we'll have two services. The people that are here early and the people that change their clocks. And they'll be here on time. So, thus, this morning, I guess there's no turning back, is there? Whoa. Wouldn't it be nice if we never had to turn back and look back at anything in our past? Right? We heard that last week. Remember last week, right? There's no looking back, right? We're looking forward at all times. We're following God, aren't we? But you know what? Sometimes I think God knows us better than we even know ourselves. God wants to make sure that the message gets repeated. So this morning, the message for you this morning is there absolutely is no turning back. Got it? You can turn your clocks back. All you want to. But we cannot turn back time, can we, really, when you think about it? Of course we can't. I mean, there are some times we wish we could, right? I could use another half an hour's worth of sleep sometimes. It would be nice, right, if time was turned back that way. And sometimes we look at some of our life journey and some of the challenges we face and some of the choices we made at the given time and some decisions. I don't know about you, but I might want to turn back and say, okay, let me change that. Right? Right, because we don't always like our consequences after that decision, do we? But here's the thing. If everything is a growth process, and if everything we learn from the past, see, the key about the past is that we learn from it so that we don't repeat it, exactly. And we humans, we're very often those people that continue to repeat the same thing over and over sometimes, right? We don't always learn from our past, do we? No. So you see, there's one thing God has to help us do. He has to help us in the moment learn how to do things when? Right here, right now. Do you know you cannot change the past? Everybody understands that. You can change right now. Can you change the future? Don't know, right? All depends. On what you do when. And you see how the only time that matters is now. So let's live in the now. Right here, right? You don't care what's happening 10 minutes from? Because you'll still be right here in the now. Exactly. Right. Perfect. Okay. So from this point forward, you're going to live when? Now. Because this is the only time you have, isn't it? So I'm going to do my level best to make it a good time for you. How's that sound? Good. All right. You like that, right? Because you're going to want to be in the now if it's all going good, right? When it's not going good, you don't want to be in that now, do you? Well, God's in that now. Okay. So let's look at the scriptures this morning because it's one of my favorite stories in the Bible. I often go back to this because it reminds me and shows me how God understands us so well. And this is a time in the Israelites' life when they had a future that God was sending them out of Egypt, the place where it wasn't so great. They're now there wasn't very good. And he was going to take them into another place, a better place. And so God had planned that all out. And the Egyptians, the Pharaoh, had really had the Israelites under captivity and oppressed. And the Israelites prayed to God daily, get me out of this mess. Get me out of here. And so God said, okay, fine. I'm going to get you out of here, right now. Beautiful. And here's what happens. In Exodus chapter 13, it says, verse 13, 17 says, when Pharaoh finally let the people go, God did not lead them on the road that runs through Philistine territory, even though that was the shortest way from Egypt to the promised land. God doesn't give us shortcuts from point A to point B. Wouldn't that be better if he did, though? Wouldn't we like it that way? Just get me out of here right now into right tomorrow, right good there too as well. But see, God knows us sometimes more than we know ourselves. God said, if the people are faced with a battle, they might change their minds and return to Egypt. See, here's the thing. If he took them the long way to the Philistine area, they might have been faced with battle by the Philistines right there. You see? So God knew it wasn't the easiest, shortest way to get from point A to point B, but God knew that sometimes people, when they're faced with the battle, even though we made a decision to change and move forward, sometimes as soon as opposition comes, what happens? We want to turn around and turn back and go the other way, right? Suddenly Egypt isn't so bad anymore. And that sometimes happens to us when we make a decision, when we make a choice to follow God, to move forward with our lives, to change and grow. Sometimes as soon as the opposition comes, what often happens to us? We want the shortcut way to get there too, right? We want it to just be instantaneous change, don't we? See, God knows us so well. But God's like, nope, I'm not going to let it go the short way, because if I did, and as soon as a little bit of a battle comes your way, you might want to turn and go back the opposite direction and keep going back there where there was that wasn't so great. So God led them along a route through the wilderness. God doesn't take them from Egypt, a bad place that they were under oppression, to the promised land instantaneously, does he? And where does he take them through? The wilderness. So they go from a place of oppression to a place of desperation, if you will. There's not much in the wilderness. It's not a great place to be whatsoever. But he takes them through that for a good reason. Because if he did, what would happen? They might want to turn back. Or they might say, hey, you know, I kind of like making those bricks in Egypt. You know, they were building things out of mud and back-breaking work and hours and hours and hours of just, you know, constantly being mistreated. That sounded good to them sometimes. Sometimes where we were and where we are, sometimes it's because we're used to it, it seems better than the alternative, going through the wilderness. How many of you love traveling through the wilderness? I don't have anybody in the room. Oh, okay. All right. It's kind of cool if you ever get to go to Arizona, and if you go to Phoenix and you go through the wilderness there, the desert, nothing but cacti, miles and miles and miles of brown. You gotta like brown. If you don't like brown and you don't like sticky things and things that hurt you and there are sharp edges to them, and if you don't like brown and more brown and even more brown and dark brown and brown and more brown, you are not going to like the Phoenix area. You are not. But there also comes a place, once you've gone through that wilderness place and you manage to constantly move upward through the mountains, there's a place called Sedona. And Sedona is breathtaking. Anybody been to Sedona? The colors are fantastic. You can't even describe them with words, how beautiful and magnificent and awe-inspiring those colors are, particularly after all you've seen was brown. See, as we go through life, the wilderness experience is what color? Brown, black, dark, not very pretty. But if you keep moving through that experience, whatever experience that is, that's nothing but brown, and you just keep moving forward and upward, eventually you're going to get to a plateau place where you look around a corner and suddenly heaven opens up, and it's beautiful. I promise you that. God shows it. God shows it through his nature. That eventually things change, don't they? And light comes again. And color comes again. And multicolor comes again. We just have to keep moving forward. As you're traveling through Phoenix, as I did, and driving and things of that nature, I got so tired of the brown. I got to a certain point driving thinking, you know what? I'm going to turn back and head south and go back to the city where it was a lot prettier. Now, had I done that, what would have happened to the vista of Sedona that still is, it magnified itself in my mind's eye, the beauty that's there. Never would have seen it. Sometimes we have to go through the browns in life to get to the multicolors. We just do. And God knows that. So that's why he takes the Israelites through the wilderness, because, first of all, he doesn't want them doing what? Turning back. Turning back. So God led them along a route through the wilderness forward toward the Red Sea. And the Israelites left Egypt like a marching army. How many times are you any, see, what month is this? Oh, let's see, it's November. We're coming upon January. How many of you in January made some goals and some had some ideas of what 2017 was going to be? Anybody? Anybody march into 2017 with a little bit of optimism? Any optimism? A couple people had some optimism. Okay. How about today? Has anybody walked in here today expecting some optimism? Why? Because you're in God's house, right? In God's presence. You know that God is the God of possibilities, of limitlessness, of good things coming, right? And these Israelites, they leave like a marching army. You know, sometimes when we make a decision, when you first come to Christ, you kind of march towards and you're all full of energy and you're moving forward, right? And you can't wait to do all you can for God. Anybody remember those days? Sometimes it's still now. Sometimes it's like a distant, long past. When are we supposed to have that same kind of feeling? Now. Now. Because what matters? Only now. All right. So we're going to switch and shift some of your nows. Moses took the bones of Joseph with him, for Joseph had made the sons of Israel swear that they would take his bones with them when God led them out of Egypt, as he was sure God would. Joseph believed that the Israelites would eventually come out of oppression, come out of depression, and go into the promised land. And he made Moses promise to take his bones with him. And guess where Joseph was headed? The promised land. He knew God's promises were true and are true. Same is true for us, is it not? We're heading to the promised land, are we not? These old bones are going to make it there, aren't they? Then the Lord gave this instruction to Moses. Tell the people to march toward Pi Hahiroth, between Migdol and the sea. Camp there along the shore opposite. Then Pharaoh will think these Israelites are confused. They are trapped between the wilderness and the sea. And once again, I will harden Pharaoh's heart, and he will chase after you. Huh? Think about that. You're headed from point A to point B. You're into the now, heading for the future, right? There's no turning back, correct? So here's what God's setting up. Not only does he send them through the wilderness, making sure that they don't take a shortcut to get from point A to point B, because they're going to learn something along the way. He also makes sure that they have absolutely no option to turn back. How? He's going to take the Pharaoh army behind them, and what's in front of them? The Red Sea. Guess what? They're trapped. They can't go back, because why? The army's there chasing after them. What's ahead of them? The Red Sea. Well, they can't go back. What do you suppose they ought to do? Stay right where they are. I think this is fine. Wait, they're catching on me. That army's chasing me. How many of you need God to chase you into the future to something better? How many of you need God to, like, kind of push you forward? How many of you, it does it take an army with dynamite to blast you out of your or complacency in your place where you are to something better? See how God does things? God wants you to move where? Forward. So that you can get to the promised land, somewhere better. So guess what happens? God has to chase you from behind and cause you to move forward. You like that theory? Does anybody in the room know that God is chasing you? God is chasing you, I'm telling you. You might not see it. God is chasing you where? Forward. And guess what? If you turn back, what happens? You're going to be faced with an army of all those things from back there. So there's no turning back. So you have to do what? Go forward. And here's how people go. I have planned this so I will receive great glory at the expense of Pharaoh and his armies. After this, the Egyptians will know that I am the Lord. So the Israelites camped there as they were told. When word reached the king of Egypt that the Israelites were not planning to return to Egypt after 3 days, Pharaoh and his officials changed their minds. What have we done letting all the slaves get away, they asked. So Pharaoh called out his troops and led the chase in his chariot. He took with him 600 of Egypt's best chariots, along with the rest of the chariots of Egypt, each with a commander. This is a lot of people going to chase those Israelites. How many people is it going to take to chase you forward? Well, if it's me chasing you, probably it only takes me. Oh, anyway. Make her stop talking. Make her shut up. Make her leave me alone. Okay. The Lord continued to strengthen Pharaoh's resolve, and he chased after the people of Israel who had escaped so defiantly. Cool. I want you to escape your past defiantly. I want you to escape out of situations and circumstances that you believe you're stuck in. I want you to leave them defiantly. Go forward. Get out of that rut. Get out of that place where you think you can't be someone or something that God can use. Get out of that mindset where you're stuck. Into poverty, into lack, into thinking you're not good enough. Get valiantly out of, yeah. Well, you know, sometimes you just got to take on your problems. Knock them out. Pow. What? Oh. I don't know if that was the Holy Spirit or not, but it came out. You know, if we fought so hard for our victories and we fought for good and we fought for being better and greater and going after dreams, if we fought more for our possibilities and our limitations and trying to tell ourselves what we can't be, if we fought more for the future, I think we'd get there, wouldn't we? Right. That's called motivation. Okay. All of the forces of the Pharaoh's army, all the horses, chariots, and charioteers were used in the chase. The Egyptians caught up with the people of Israel as they were camped beside the shore. That's kind of fun, isn't it? Let's think about that. You kind of rest in between. God's chasing you, right, trying to move you forward, and what do? You take a break. Right? You gotta, I'm moving forward. I'm working on my plan. I'm doing all the things that on a daily basis that I'm moving towards my goal, but, you know, I need to rest. So I stop, and guess what happens? The army catches up with you. Those of you that procrastinate going after your dreams, God is chasing after you. You better get moving. Get on going. Right? Okay. As Pharaoh and his army approached, the people of Israel could see them in the distance marching toward them. Then the people began to panic, and they cried out to the Lord for help. And then they turned against Moses and complained. Why did you bring us out here to die in the wilderness? Weren't there enough graves for us in Egypt? Why did you make us leave? Wait a minute. I thought they marched out valiantly. I thought they wanted to leave. I thought they prayed to God that they wanted to change, right? How many of you have prayed to God to change and God helped you start to change and then it gets a little tough and then you go, why are you making me change? People are fun, aren't we? Aren't we, though? Didn't we tell you to leave us alone while we were still in Egypt? Did they really? Suddenly they have a different mindset of, we were better off back there, right? Our Egyptian slavery was far better than dying out here in the wilderness. I'd rather have slavery any day. I'd rather be down on my knees making rocks and making mud. I'd rather be beaten over my back. I'd rather be stuck where I am. I'd rather be abused than to move out of that. That's better than being over here, moving forward. Now, I know you don't talk that way. Anybody in the room ever use the word but? I would go to college and get my degree. I'm too old. It's too expensive. Who needs college anyway? I would forgive that person, but I would really go on a diet and have a better body. Wow, there was a lot of buts then. Wow. Do you know what your butt is? See, butt is just another word for I can't, I won't, I don't want to. I like it right here, right now, where I'm stuck in my misery. What? For real? How many of you like pain? No hands go up. But sometimes we stay there, don't we? Until what? The pain escalates. And then we cry out to God. And God says, okay, go. And you go, there? Oh, do I have to go there? Do I have to do that? Let me go back into my place. Let me have my butt. Oh, boy. Moses told the people, don't be afraid. Just stand where you are and watch the Lord rescue you. Here's the cool part about God that I love so much. Even when you want to stay where you are, even when you've decided that you do want to change and you start to change and then you want to go back, God starts to chase you. You start to rest, and then you decide still because you have free will, I'm going to stay right where I am because I'm comfortable here. What does God do? Puts up the heat. Things start to get a little worse, right? And then what happens? When you decide to stand still and let God do it for you, God rescues you. Because I don't know about you, but are you a self-rescuer? Anybody here? Oh, one person that admits it. I can do this myself. I can take on the Egyptian army by myself. I got a sword, I got an armor, and I've got a one heck of a right cross. And I can kick, too. Come on, Army. Let's go. So, like, if all of you were standing up for right now, as you are, let's just say you're all standing up, and you're the Egyptian Army. And who is that person that says that they can self-rescue? Oh, welcome to our service. So I'd like for you to come over here for just a quick second. At least you're honest, yes. See, it's important to acknowledge our butts. And acknowledge that we sometimes are self-rescuers, that we can do it ourselves. If we could just figure it out, I can get in control, and I can certainly do anything I want to do, even take on an army. So, Army, you think we can defeat that one little one over there? I think about four of us can do it. What do you think? We can do it. when you have an army of angels helping you? Different, right? What if this was an army of angels to help you through what you're going through? Do you have a different feeling towards them now? Absolutely. See, we humans, we need to have better vision and see the invisible to accomplish the impossible. God does give us all an army of angels. Even if the Egyptians are chasing us, who's also defending us? God and God's angels. Instead of fighting and trying to do it ourselves or by only ourselves, imagine as you're going through life that God has an army of angels surrounding you to take on that army of problems that you're facing. Different perspective, isn't it? And for all of you that are standing here and feeling a sense of togetherness and the sense of numbers, right? There's strength in numbers, is there not? The enemy tries to divide and conquer. But see, all of us in this together, and God, as we stand back and watch what God will do, we use the power of prayer to say, you can stop fighting. God will win the battle for you. You don't have to do a single thing. Just stand and watch what God will do. And this army of angels that are praying with you and for you, they got your back. And you will make it to the promised land. I promise. I will make sure. So I'm going to chase you back to your seat. And for those of you that also sometimes try to do things on your own, know this. It says in verse 14, the Lord himself will fight for you. The Lord himself will fight for you. The Lord himself will fight for you and you and you and you and all of you. The Lord himself, right? If the Lord is on your side, what army will take us down? None. There's nothing in this world that can ever defeat us, right? Nothing. And we know the end of the story of what happened with the Israelites, right? Right? We know the, right? You've seen the movie? And I got to do the second part of that verse 14 because there's actually two verses there. It says, the Lord himself will fight for you. You won't have to lift a finger in your defense. Not even lift a finger. Wouldn't it be great if we went through life just allowing and having God guide us and direct us and fight for us? Wouldn't that be awesome? Wouldn't you like to just sit back in the now and be in God's presence? The last thing that God tells those people to do, get moving. Get moving forward. And we know what happened. The chariots came running, and what happened to the sea? It opened up. And what happened to those Israelites? They walked right on through to the other side. Victory, victory. So if God's led you out of a place of oppression or depression or sadness or some circumstance where you were stuck, you've cried out, God is chasing you forward, not necessarily giving you a shortcut because he wants to make sure you never turn back. But as you're moving forward, even when opposition comes your way, the Lord himself will fight for you and you won't even have to lift a finger. The key is, you have to know there's absolutely no turning back. There's no turning back. There's absolutely no turning back. Amen. Amen.